These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Somebody wanted to know where Parshas Re'eh was. We hardly ever come to these parshios during the course of our studies, but nevertheless it is alive and well and in safe with the morning, Baruch Hashem. So let's have a look at the parsha, and I'm hoping that we might be able to catch a flavor of the many inyonim which arise from the Beforeshim, and certainly from the Beforeshei HaTorah on the spot. Re'eh,
Onochi
nosein lifneichem hayom
bracha ukelolo.
Translated as, see, I place before you today blessing and curse. So the first source that I would like to consult this evening is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh.
Again, I emphasize, a man who is long but not long-winded.
He has a lot to say.
And he
points to a number of apparent difficulties in the Pasuk and offers a most fascinating reply. Tzorich l'adas, the first thing that we have to direct our attention to is the following. Lama omar l'shon re'iyo al hadvonim. If Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking and there is nothing to look at, so why will Moshe Rabbeinu use the verb re'ei? A word like shema would appear to have been more appropriate. Odomro,
another problem is
the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu uses a very emphatic pronoun,
Onohi,
as opposed to Ani.
Od, another problem that I have in the Pasuk, is Lama Omar Lishon Yochid.
Why is Re'eh in the singular?
Kivin Shekol HaParsha Kula BeLishon Rabim Nemro.
Since the entire parsha, as we will see, and indeed the verse itself concludes,
now say lifnehem hayom, which is Loshon Rabim.
So why Re'eh BeLoshon Yochid?
Venire.
And to my opinion, it is as follows.
Shahakavona hi,
the intention of the pasuk is,
lefi shebo lahabchiron ba'olam ho'elyon, ulahamit kol tovos olam hazeh. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, let us condense into one simple idea exactly what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting to the Jewish people at this time. He wants to encourage them to pursue those type of activities which will bring them Olam Haba. He wants to discourage them from an overindulgence and involvement in Olam Hazeh. That's what he wants, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Ukedei sheyisasmu etzlom hadevorim tzorich shehamochiach yihye bo bezin yonim. A person who comes along to you and me and says to us, I want you to opt for Olam Haba. I want you to dismiss Olam Hazeh. Before that person's opinions become credible, before we are prepared to listen to that person, we have to know two things about that person. Number one, Shiyakir HaKol Achushis B'Tuvu Elyon. When he speaks about Olam Haba, does he have a clue what he's talking about? Only Olam Haba. Have you been there? Do you know what it's like? What's it all about? Somebody starts up shlag about Olam Haba, Olam Haba. Do you know what you're talking about? A person who comes to you and talks to you about Olam Haba says how wonderful it is. Well, how do you know? Number two, Shehisig Hasogas Tuv Olam Hazeh V'Kinyana. When a person says, no, forget about this world. This world has nothing to offer. We turn around to our neighbors and we say to ourselves, he doesn't know what Olam Hazeh has to offer. He thinks he knows Olam Hazeh, because he sits in his little winkel from Shabbos to Shabbos, but he doesn't know what goes on in Olam Hazeh. We know Olam Hazeh is Eichel HaVelt. So somebody who comes along to you and says to you, I want you to opt for Olam Haba, and I want you to dismiss Olam Hazeh, that statement is only credible if the individual who is speaking to us knows of what he speaks. He knows Olam Hazeh well, and he knows Olam Haba well. As he goes on to say,
The second quality of such a person is that he knows even what Olam Hazeh is all about. Because if a person who is speaking to us is a person who has never, as it were, experienced Olam Hazeh to its full, lo yayomnu devarav, then his words will not be listened to. Lemasige tovas Olam Hazeh, to those people who have indulged in Olam Hazeh, ki yomru, because they will say to themselves, Ein omrim lemisha lo ra, yavu v'yagid. So you can tell somebody else, friend, who doesn't know what Olam Hazeh is all about. But me, you can't tell about Olam Hazeh, because I know Olam Hazeh and you don't. Shim hoyo toeim tame hanoas gedulas Olam Hazeh v'kinyonov v'sanugov lo hoyo mamiso v'lchiv zuloso uvozelo yatu oznom lekabel devorov. People say to themselves, nah, if this man doesn't know what Olam Hazeh is all about, what right has he got to come along and tell us to what for Olam Habo? If he would really know Olam Hazeh and know what one can enjoy in Olam Hazeh, he would never have dismissed it so lightly. So these are the two characteristics, the two items which this individual who wants us to choose between Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh, he must have a consummate knowledge of both. Furthermore, gam habo lahaflig b'tuv olam habo, even the person who comes to tell us how wonderful olam habo is, lo yutztuku v'lo le'omnu devorov la'seichel hativi, that person's opinions will not be respected. Culture hu atzmo ein devorov elamipihu emuna, v'hu lo ra'o v'lo yada, if when the person who's speaking to us about olam habo has no clue other than what other people have told him. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu says to Bnei Yisrael, genius, Rehei, look at me. I am a man who has experienced Olam Hazeh. I was a king. I am wealthier than the wealthiest. And I have gone to heaven in Olam Habo to receive the Torah. And Rehei Anochi. No sein lifnechem hayom v'rocho klala. I've been both places. So don't tell me what's good and what's bad. Don't tell me what's better and what's worse. I have been in both arenas. Re'ei onochi perush elai tiru. Look at me. V'tatzdiku v'tatzkilu lahatzdik hadvorim. And confirm to yourselves that when I speak about these things, I know of what I speak. Ki hu hisig lahakir tuv Olam Hazeh, because Moshe Rabbeinu, which was well known, had experienced Olam Hazeh. Ki hayo gadol miyod v'gibor u'melech v'oshir gadol. He was a man who had everything that the world could offer him. Furthermore, v'yofododi amnoim gam betuv ho elyon hikir ki Allah shomayim v'toam tam elyon. And he also knew what was going on in Olam Habo because he had been there. V'yachar shehisig hakora chushius hakoras beiz devarim v'hasogosom. And then, when he had presented to the people himself as one who knows these worlds well, then he spoke to them in the way in which he spoke. So that's the Re'ei Onochi. Look means look at me. Onochi means I am unique in regards to this matter that I am presenting to you, in that I have experienced Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. The final point says the Orachaim HaKadosh, V'yomer O Re'ei Loshen Yochid, in regards to Re'ei being used in the singular, he says that's quite simply explained. Ki Re'io Zu, Kulom Shovim Bahakoroso Ki Yish Echod, Shegolu Lakol Hasogas Moshe V'Olam Hazeh V'Olam Habo. Says the Orachaim HaKadosh, in the plural would seem to indicate that there are different ways of seeing, that there is a multitude of ways of approaching what I am presenting to you. Says the Orachaim HaKadosh, it's not true. Even the most ordinary, uninitiated, the simplest type of person, man, woman, and child, when they hear Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo, and they hear Moshe Rabbeinu encouraging them to opt for Olam Habo and to dismiss an overindulgence in Olam Hazeh, the simplest, together with the wisest, can confirm that this is a man who is to be trusted and is to be believed. That is why the singular implies that they all perceive the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu's entitlement to speak to them on these topics, and that his opinion should not only be listened to, but should be obeyed. This is a type of situation that everybody equally perceives to be correct. That's the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. In Kotsk, they had a different approach to the Yochid and the Loshen Yochid and Loshen Rabbi. The Kotsk Rebbe says, I see a lot of the Meforshim are arguing as to why it begins with Loshen Yochid and concludes with Loshen Rabbim. He says, I don't understand what the problem is. He says, it is true that the Torah is placed in front of everybody, but no two people see it the same way. So it's placed in front of Lifneichem, it's placed in front of everybody, but Re'ei, each and every individual sees the Torah in a different light. They bring to it their own emotions, their own intellect, their own preconceived notions. So the Re'iyah, what we see, is unique to each individual. Others have a different version in what the Kotzker Rebbe said. Some say he said sharper. He said, Lifneichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the Torah in front of everybody, Lifneichem, but only Yechidim see. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places the Torah in front of everybody doesn't mean that everybody automatically approaches this and looks in. There are only a number of people who really see what it's all about. And he says exactly the same thing later on towards the end of the first Parsha in Parshat Re'eh. Also the interplay of Loshen Rabbim and Loshen Yochid. L'shichno sidreshu, you shall search out his dwelling place, Loshen Rabbim, uvoso shomo. And thou shalt come there, Loshen Yochid. Many people seek his dwelling place, but few people arrive there. And this, of course, fits in with what we will call the Kotzker elitist philosophy, but not to go into that too much at the moment. Okay. Let's move on. Pasuk Beis. Es HaBarocha. There is a bracha which will accrue if you listen to the mitzvos. And then the next pasuk, VaHaklalo, and there are curses which come about if we do not listen. And I was attracted by a comment of the Baal HaTurim, who is very terse, but in the manner of the Rishonim, it's Ma'at HaMachzik Es HaMerubah, as we will discover. Says the Baal HaTurim on the words Es HaBarocha. Right, I'll read it out just in case you have the Mikros Gedolos that still has it in the small print. Es HaBarocha. Barbarochos. In regard to the blessings which will accrue if you listen, Omar S. The word S is found, which is a Lashon Ribui, an expression of abundance. S always comes to include more, right? Why? Ki lo nofal davar echad mikol devaro hatov, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a reward for mitzvos performed almost without end. Whereas uvaklolo, in regards to curses, lo omar es, it doesn't say es, only vehakelolo. Now we have to ask ourselves, why is it in regards to brocha that there is an abundance of reward, and in regards to klolo it seems to be mitzumtzam, it seems to be very constrained? And I came upon two mare makomos, Shneim ledover echod niskavnu, both of them coming to the same conclusion, and I have to confess, it was a great chiddush for me. So again, I'm asking the question, why in regards to reward, because that's what we're talking about, why in regards to reward does there seem to be a touch of the infinite, and in regards to punishment, it seems to be very much more finite? And I refer you first of all to a comment of the Gaon of Vilna. And this is taken from his Perush on Sefer Mishlei, Perik Yud, Posuk Kaf Dalet. The Posuk in its entirety reads as follows. Megoras Rosho Ehi Tovoreno. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. Visavas Sadikim Yitain. But the desire of the righteous shall he give. Now follow, please. It is a chidush niskov. Says the God, let us take the first part of the pasuk. Megoras rosho hi tivoeno. The fear of the wicked, what he fears will come upon him. What is what he fears? Hapachad shel horosho hi hoaveiro. What the Rosho fears liyom hadin, or what the Rosho fears, if he fears anything, are the averos that he has committed. Ki horosho misyorei min hoaveros shebiyodo. The Rosho is afraid of the sins that he has committed. Follow the next words. Ki hoaveiro atzma osedin barosho. Because the avero itself generates the punishment. God is not involved in punishing a Rosho who commits an Avera. The Avera itself creates a Malach Hamashchis that is the source of his punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved. Ki ho Avera atzma osa din v'rosho. Please notice. However, the Savas Sadikim Yitain, but the desire of the righteous shall he give, meaning the reward for a mitzvah, who is Yitain? HaKadosh Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the reward for mitzvos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give punishment for Averos. The Averos generate their own punishment. And he goes on. She'im hoyeso ha-mitzvah atzma mishalem eslo haskar. Because if it was the mitzvah itself which generated its own reward, hoyo haskar betachlis ugevul kamo ha-mitzvah. Then in the same way as the mitzvah is finite, a finite mitzvah would only be capable of generating a finite reward, because a finite cannot generate an infinite. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu biyatzmo yitein lo haschar. But it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who gives the reward for a mitzvah. Ukamo shehu beli tachlis, and in the same way as God is infinite, kein hasachar yihyeh beli tachlis. So the reward will be without measure. For ho'averos, however, in regards to sins, hein betachlis u'gevul, an avero is finite, it's an act. Ki ho'avero atzmo mishalem eslo ha'gevul, v'ho'avero hi betachlis. Do you want to know why the Baal HaTurim says that in regards to brocho we have the word es? To indicate the profusion of blessing that comes upon the person who does the mitzvah. And there is no similar comment in the Torah regarding the klala. The answer is according to the Gaon of Vilna. Because in regards to a mitzvah, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is infinite who gives the reward. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is infinite gives an infinite reward. But in regards to Averos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not mete out punishment for the Averos. The Averos themselves generate in the constellations, however the cosmic forces work, the Avero itself generates its own punishment, and if the Avero is finite as it is, because it is an action which has a beginning and an end, it can only generate a finite onesh. And look what I came upon. In the Perush of Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa, an older contemporary of the Gaon of Vilna, who authored amongst others, most famously known for the Nesivas HaMishpat on Choshen Mishpat, Derech HaChaim, which we have in the Siddur, the Yotzer HaTfilat Siddur, the Beis Yaakov and Evan Ezer, the Chavos Dos and Yoredeya, one of the giants. He wrote a Perush on Eicha called Palgei Mayim. Now look what this gentleman says. On the Posuk, Mi pi elyon lo seitse horo'os vehato. From on high does not come horo'os, plural form, vehatov, or the good. What does it mean? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Uma she'omar horo'os peloshen rabim. V'hatov beloshen yochid. Why is roos in the plural and tov in the singular? Heyos ki gam ho'onesh hora eino bo be'etzem me'ito. Because you have to know, says Rabbi Yaakov, that the punishment for an avera does not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki me'ito lo teitzera, because evil does not come from God. Rak hora habo al ha'odom, but the evil that comes upon a person as a result of an avera, ha'ovon atzmo ose. Mamish vidagon. It is the sin itself which creates the punishment. Ki al yedei ha'ovon, he's a little more explicit, because through the ovon, through the sin, borei malach mashchis, a destructive angel is created, asher hu hametziklo, and he, the angel, the malach hamashchis, is the one who troubles him and pains him. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, vatamugenu biyad avonenu, we have been consumed in the hands of our sins. It is the sins that have destroyed us, because the sins have created the onesh, and it is the onesh which comes about through the averos that have consumed us. Now, v'loze omar, therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, we say in the pasuk, Horo os v'loshen rabim. Let me explain in my own words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not responsible, A, for the fact that you did the avera, because that's free will. And number two, the second part, Loshen Rabim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not responsible for the punishment which comes to you as a result of the avera, because that's generated by the avera. That's why we have Loshen Rabim. The two aspects, the committing of the avera, and the onesh which comes about because of the avera, both of them HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in. The first because it is free will, and the second because, as the Gaon said before, the avera is what generates the punishment. Whereas in regard to the area of Tov, oh yes, there is one Tov which does not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is your decision to do a mitzvah, because that's free will. But there's no Loshen Rabim, because on the contrary, whereas the onesh that comes as a result of the avera is not associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but generated by the avera itself, but the reward which comes for a mitzvah comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Mipiho Elyon Lo Tzeitzei Hora'os V'Hatov, only the singular Tov doesn't come from him, namely our decision to do good, but the good that is generated through our mitzvah, that for sure comes from him. Mamish Kedivrei Hagon. Okay. To me this is a chidush. And of course it will explain, as nobody ever explained to me, and I'm not surprised, Chas V'Shalom, but I was hoping that they would say this, because to me it seems obvious that this is what Chazal mean when they say that Midot Tova is Merubo and Midot HaPoronos. The quality of reward is infinitely more than the quality of punishment. And the answer is, because the quality of punishment comes from the Avera itself, which is finite. And the quality of reward comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite. So it must stand to reason that Midot Tova is Ach Meruba and Midot HaPoronos. Let us now move on. And we come upon, again, as I say, I'm not sure whether we'll finish in time, but nevertheless, it will be time worthwhile. We come now to another element, which is fascinating in Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is the first occasion when we read about the building of a sacred shrine, a national shrine in Eretz Yisrael. No mention whatsoever, even in regards to the Chagim in Parshas Emor, no mention of Beis HaMikdash. It appears for the first time in Sefer Devarim. But what is most fascinating, and here I direct your attention to Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hei, what I direct your attention to is, Ki im, you are not allowed to sacrifice whatever you want to. Ki im el hamokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokechem mikol shivtechem losumet shemo shom. You can only go to the place which Hashem will choose. Yerushalayim is not mentioned by name. There is an allusion to a central shrine, a place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose, but no mention is made of it whatsoever. And this is a question which no less a personality than the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim has addressed himself to. Why Sefer Devarim did not explicitly indicate that where we are speaking about is none other than Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Says the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, of all what I want to know, he says, is Madu alo hiskiro befeirush b'Torah. Why did the Torah not mention it explicitly? Velo yichdo, and the Torah did not designate it. Elo nirmazolov. It is alluded to. The Ne'emar and the Pasuk says, Asher yivchar Hashem, which Hashem will choose. Why? Yesh bokach ledati sholosh chochmos. That's Rambam's language. To this question, I have three answers. Hoachas, number one, kidei shelo yachziku bo hoamim v'yelochamu olav milchoma kosho kasher yedu shehamakom hazeh matoras hatorah mikol haolam. The goyim find out that this is the place, so they will immediately take it for themselves, and knowing full well that this is the most important place in the world, and they will want it at all costs. We cannot give them advance notice. Two, shelo yashchisu osam shehu b'yedeyam ato v'yarasu k'chol yecholtom. Another thing is, if the goyim who are now in possession of it know that that's where we want to build our Beis HaMikdash, lahachis, they will destroy the entire place. Second, v'hashelishis v'hi hayosech hashuvah. I offer you a third answer, says the Rambam, and to my mind this is the most important answer, why Yerushalayim is not mentioned. Kidei shelo yevakshu kol shevet sheyehezeh benachaloso v'yichboshoso v'yihi yeshomin ha-machlokas v'haketoto kemo she'ira b'drishas ha-kehuna. If you think having a machlokas about Maftayin is bad enough, you should find out what would have happened if each of the tribes would know that Yerushalayim is exactly where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be. Each and every one of them would want it to be in their chelek. Says the Rambam, and I don't tell you something, as it were, out of the blue. Look what happened over the kahuna. There was almost a revolution which split the ranks of the entire people. So therefore you should know, says the Rambam, that the place is not mentioned because it would have led to strife and machlokas in the ranks of our people. Ulefikoch, and now, says the Rambam, he's a philosopher. Ulefikoch, therefore, bo hatzivui. That is why Chazal tell us in Sanhedrin, and it's based on Psukim, we have a directive, shelo yivne beis habechira ki im achar hakom asmelech. You're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash until A, you have appointed a king, and B, you have destroyed Amalek, and then you can build. But the Melech is central to building the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Because the Melech is the unifying force amongst the people. Ki im achar hakom asmelech, kidei shetehei ha-achlota biyad echad, so that the decision to go ahead comes from a central authority who has to be obeyed by all the people, and therefore the possibility of strife in our ranks in regards to the site of the Beis HaMikdash will fade. And says the Rambam, this is the most important answer. It was not mentioned so that there should be no problem whatsoever in settling the land between each tribe, who would each insist that I want to have the site of the Beis HaMikdash in my territory. In fact, according to tradition, Yerushalayim lo nischalaka lishvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided out amongst the tribes. Yerushalayim is, in fact, as far as we are concerned, an international Jewish city, not chas v'shalom, an international city for the goyim, an international city amongst ourselves, to the extent that no tribe has a holding in it. It's not private. It's Rishus HaRavim. Okay, so that's the story there. Now, we move on to other matters. And we come back to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and we will see a number of items, one item of information, which I respectfully suggest, to use the rabbinic phrase, will set the cat amongst the pigeons. Okay. Let's open Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Zion.
Perek Tesvav, Posuk Zayin. Ki yihyeh v'cho evyon, if there shall be amongst you a poor man, mi'achad achecho, from amongst your brothers, v'achad shi'olecho, in one of your gates, v'yatzecho, in your land, asher Hashem elokecho noseloch, which the Almighty gives you. Fine. Have a poor man, got to give him tzedakah. We'll speak about that shortly. Let us again consult the words of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And here I draw your attention not to his opening comments on this pasuk, but rather to this passage which begins, Uvederech Remez. Okay, it's the paragraph which begins, Uvederech Remez. Follow carefully, please, so that there are no mistakes here. Says the Rav, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, a legitimate way of interpreting Torah is not only pshat, remez, drush, sod, they are all equally legitimate, and they all have something to contribute. And I would like to develop the opening part of this pasuk, Vederech Remez, as he does on many other occasions, but this, I believe, is the first time that I have brought him, and you will see soon why. Uvederech Remez, and in regards to an interpretation by way of allusion, Yirmoz Lehoir Heolo Gedola, I believe that this opening phrase of this pasuk comes to arouse us in regards to Al Echod Hameyuchod Sheba Umo. It comes to arouse our attention to that single individual amongst our people, She'elav Anu Mikavim Umitzapim Mosayavo, for whom we wait all these years, when will he come? For whom Melech Yisrael Mishichenu, the King of Israel, who is our Moshiach, Asher Hu Evyo, and we know, unfortunately, that he will come as a poor man. Our attention to that single individual amongst our people, She'elav Anu Mikavim Umitzapim Mosayavo, for whom we wait all these years, when will he come? For whom Melech Yisrael Mishichenu, the King of Israel, who is our Moshiach, Asher Hu Evyo, and we know, unfortunately, that he will come as a poor man. What do we mean? Ukvar Nimsha Leoni. He has already been compared by the prophet Zechariah to a poor man. Ka'omro, as the Novi says, Oni Verochei Valachamor. Had the Moshiach come through our merit, Achishena, then he would have come, as it were, on clouds of glory. But if he does not come through our merit, but comes be'ito, at a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has designated as the end of days, he doesn't come in our merit, then he is likened to an oni verochev ala chamor, which means that his arrival is not as miraculous as it otherwise might have been. Veromaz hadovor, and there is an allusion in this pasuk, Asher Yesov Venu Lihios Evyon, what has caused him to come as a poor man and not in a miraculous fashion? And the answer is Becho. Ki Yihyeh Becho Evyon. When the Mashiach, who is the Evyon, will come, you should know that when he comes as an Evyon, it is Becho, because you were not worthy that he should come any other way. Because our Avonos brought about the lengthening of our Golos, as a result of which he came, not earlier, but at a fixed time. Gam Romas Besevas Becho. Another allusion to the word Becho is that this Evyon, this Moshiach Becho, he wants so much to come on your account and you don't let him. Ki hu evyon banu, he is amongst us, shemisaveh mosai yavou legaleinu, he wants to know, how soon can I come? V'tzei ulamad mimah she'omru rabosinu zal, and I give you as proof of this, from what our Chachomim have told us, the Maisei with the Maisei of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shekisherauhu Melech HaMoshiach, that when the Moshiach saw this rabbi, She'olola Yisrael Shebaolam, he asked, how are the Jews faring in the world? The Yomalo Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to the Moshiach, Ki heim yoshevim umitzapim viyoso, they are waiting for his arrival. Ukeshashoma Kane, when the Moshiach heard this, Go hechosid bevechio rabba, the Moshiach broke down in tears, Miteshu kosola vola goalam, I want to come, but it's not possible, and it's not my fault, it's their fault. They cry, but they are the ones who prevent me. That is the ultimate tragedy. Further, who is this man, this Melech HaMoshiach? Well, it says he is mi achad achecho. Now, achad can mean one of your brethren, or the word achad can mean he is the most unique, the most outstanding of your brethren. Shehu ha-miyuchot shebi achecho. In the same way as Chazal explained in the Targum, when Abimelech says to Yitzchak, why did you not tell me that Rivka was your wife? Kimat shochav achad ha'om es ishtecho. Doesn't mean one of the people might have slept with her. Achad ha'om means the most outstanding member of the people, namely yours truly. Right? To omro kimat shochav achad ha'om sheretzono lamar echad ha'miyuchot shehu melech ha'om. So the Mashiach you have to know is be achad achecho. He is the most unique and outstanding of your brethren. And when, why does it say Biachad Shiorecho? Because the word Sha'ar does not mean a gate. The word Sha'ar means based in where the Sanhedrin HaGadol sit. That is why, says the Orachaim HaKadosh, it says in regards to the Yevoma, the childless widow whose deceased husband's brother does not want to marry her, she goes Sha'aro, she goes to the based in and says, this man does not want to marry me. So he is not only Miachad Shiorecho, he is also Miachad Shiorecho. He is the most outstanding Chacham in the entire Sanhedrin, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'shofat B'tzedek V'lolomaroin of Yishbot, etc., etc. Now what's Be'artzecho got to do with Mashiach, says the Orachaim HaKadosh? Says the Yorachayim HaKadosh Lehoir to tell you, Ki horoso veleidoso beyeret Yisrael HaKadosha. A person who wants to qualify as a candidate to be Mashiach has to be conceived and born in Eretz Yisrael. Do you like it? Has to be conceived and born in Eretz Yisrael. Ad kanoim b'mashabas HaGadol. It's an extraordinary Yorachayim HaKadosh. Would have saved a lot of trouble. The Omra Biyatzecha Lahoir Ki Horoso Vileidoso the Eretz Yisrael HaKadosh. I thought I would bring it to your attention. No, for a very simple reason. No, not only because it is what we would call topical, but I want you to know something, and this is a fact of Jewish life. There are Yesodos of Torah and Yiddishkeit that you find in Chumash Meforshim that you find nowhere else. It is an extraordinary phenomenon. The Chasam Sofer Zatzal in the Tshuva says, the Segula for Yiras Shamayim is Torah with Ramban. Torah with Meforshim. It's all there. Very, very fascinating. And it's an Orachaim HaKodesh well worth meditating on. Incidentally, he also says the Mashiach's name got to be Chaim. But there are those, I mentioned this for the sake of completeness. But there are those who meforshei ha'orachayim who say that Chaim is not meant that his name is to be Chaim, but Chaim is actually Rosh HaTevis for the names which are possible for Mashiach. And incidentally, I have to say this, the Mem stands for Menachem. Interesting. But anyway, we'll close the book on that one at the moment. Now we come to a most fascinating aspect of Torah study. It looked a little fanciful. When I saw it many years ago, it looked what we called in rabbinic circles cute. But in actual fact, there is much more to it than meets the eye, as we will see. Here we have Kibach Yevacho Evyon, a poor man, Lo Sa Mitzes Levovacho, Velo Sik Poses Yodacho Miyachicho Ho Evyon. Do not close your hand from your brother who is poor. Kiposoach Tiftaches Yodacho Lo. Open your hands to him. Aye, the Baalei Musar, the Baalei Musar say, Losik poches yadecha. Do not close your hand. Me'achicha hoev yod from your poor brother. Don't deny him the tzedakah. Aye, what do you say? You want to hold on to your money? Remember, Reb Yid, there was going to come a day soon or later, biz 120, ki posoach tiftach es yadecha, when your hands will lie open. As the Medrash says in Kohelet, Rabba b'shem Rabbi Meir, the child comes into the world with clenched fists and leaves as an old man with his hands open. He's born into the world with the intention of happing everything and ends up with happing nothing. So when you close your hand because you don't want to give to your poor brother, because you want to hold on to all your material possessions, just keep one thing in mind. Ki posoach tiftach es yadecha. There's going to be a day when you'll hold on to nothing, and then you'll need all the mitzvos that you can possibly obtain. It's a very, very fine thought. But I'm going to draw your attention now to Kol Eliyahu, which is a collection of comments which were said over in the name of the Gaon. Unfortunately, the Gaon never wrote down very much, as we know, written down mostly by his children and some by his pupils. Ki fosoach tiftach es yodacha, the instruction to give handsomely to your poor brother, says the Gaon, as only the Gaon can. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us the following. Rav Papa have a solik bidarga. Rav Papa was climbing a ladder. Ishtamit kuroe, and one of the rungs slipped, and boil a napal, and Rav Papa was about to fall flat. Omale Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says to him, believing that nothing in this world happens accidentally, Shema oni boli yodacha velo pinasoso. If the rung was nearly going to break, I can only conclude that a poor man must have come to you once and asked you for an adova, and you refused him. Says the Gaon, how did he know? What's one thing got to do with the other? He didn't give him tzedakah, so he's got rickety ladders. How did he know that the punishment came for this? The Yeshla Tareit says the Gaon, and Vachaptat Sitter says the Gaon, because if you look at the words for Soach Tiftach, the cantillation notes, Ki for Soach Tiftach, those two notes are Dargo Tevir, which is the Aramaic for a broken step. If you did not fulfill Kippo Soach Tiftach, it is because you did not, and for that reason, the Dargo Tevir, there is a broken step lying in wait for you. Liramos Remez Lahamis Aleimen Atzadoko Tishover Dargo Tachto. Says the Gaon, and we said it before in the Tshuvas Horadvar, not only the letters, not only the vocalization, but also the cantillation, the notes, it's all halacha l'moshe misinai. And that is to remind us that there is nothing incidental in Torah. Everything is connected together. I saw that Gaon this year, and I reminded myself of a story. Listen carefully, please. There is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed, Amud Aleph, the bottom of Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there that David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to tell me how long I'm going to live, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we don't give out that information. I want to know what day of the week I'm going to die. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a Shabbos. Says David HaMelech, make it a Sunday. Can't be Sunday. Make it a Friday. Can't be Friday. You're going to die on Shabbos. Says the Gemara as follows. Kol yomo de Shabso, every Shabbos, have a Yosef vegoris kule yoyme. David HaMelech made sure to learn every minute of the day so the Malachim of us won't be able to get at him. Hahu yoma deboy lemeinach nafshei, on the Shabbos that he was destined to die, kom malach hamovis kamei, the malach hamovis came, velo yochile, and he wasn't able to do anything to him, to lo have posak pumei migirse, because he didn't stop learning. Omar, so he said to himself, the malach hamovis, he's a cute fellow, my avidle, what will I do? Have le bustana achore beisei. There was a garden behind the David HaMelech's palace. Asa Malach HaMovis, so the Malach HaMovis went, solik ubochish bi'ilone, he went and he shook the leaves. The most amazing sound started to come out of the trees. His nofik lemechse. So David HaMelech's curiosity was aroused, so he went out to have a look. Have solik bedarge. He went up on a ladder because the sound was coming from the leaves, from the branches. Ifchis dargemi to say, the rung broke under him. Ishtik v'noch nafsha, he fell and he died. You heard that, right? The rung broke and he died. So I said to myself, the Gaon says it's got something to do with tzedakah when the rung breaks. I mean, that's what it says in the Gemara Baba Basra. And here he didn't boil a maple. He was about to break. He was about to fall. He fell and he was killed. Let me tell you something. There's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas introduces, early on in the Masechta, introduces David HaMelech's daily schedule. A harp used to be humming at midnight, because the wind used to come in and move the strings, and David HaMelech used to get up, and he used to learn. And then, says the Gemara like this, Kiven Sha'ola Amud HaShochar, when the morning star arose, Nichnesu Chachmei Yisrael, the elders of Israel would come into David HaMelech every day. Omru lo, and they would say to him, Adoneinu HaMelech, our master king, Amucha Yisrael Tzirichim Parnasa. Your people need Parnasa, they need money. Self-help. Omar Lohem, so he would say to them every day, Pashtu Yadechem Bigadud. Go out and get rid of the bandits. They're making trouble and they'll have panosa. Don't come to me. I've got nothing. Says Rabbi Yonis and Ibershutz. But they're coming in every day. So you had your answer yesterday. So are you coming in again today? And it says in the Gemara, they came in day after day after day. We need money. Please look somewhere else. Says Rabbi Yonis in Ibershutz, as only he can, that the Yalkut Shemayni in Rus, based on a posuk in Divrei Hayomim, the posuk says like this, David HaMelech speaking, V'hine v'yonyi, and behold I in my poverty, Hachinosi leveis Hashem, I have prepared for the house of God, Zahov, with regards to gold, kikorim meo elef, 100,000 kikorim. It boggles the imagination. The kesef and silver, elef alofim, millions. That's the pasuk. And I, in my poverty, says the Yalkut Shemayni, we should all be so poor. V'chiyeshli oni b'Yisrael elef alofim dinrei zov. Does every poor man in Israel have 1,000,000 talents of gold? Elo, says the Yalkut, Kishoharag le Golius, when David killed Goliath, Hishlichu alov benos Yisrael kesev izov. As David came back with Goliath's head and he passed through the people, the women and the young girls, they threw in their excitement, they threw at him all their silver and gold. V'hu hifrishon levinyan beis hamigdosh. And David HaMelech says, this silver and gold I am going to put aside for the building of the temple. U'chishirahoyo ra'ov ba'oretz. And when there was 3 years famine in the land, lo posach otsoros lechalkel aniyim. He refused to part with the money to give panosa to the starving millions. This money is not for tzedakah. This money is to build a house for God. Says the Yalkut, V'lochach kotzaf olav Hashem. And for this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with him, for Omar, and said to him, Tovot Tzedakah Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. Giving charity is better than building temples. Bilakach, and for this reason, Atah Lo Sivne, you will not be allowed to build it. You can't build it. Because you set aside money at Yenim's places that they should starve to death, while you keep that money to build a Beis HaMikdash, money like that will not be used. And Rabosai, if you look into the Radak in Melachim Aleph, Perek Zion, you will discover there that it indicates that Shlomo HaMelech finished off the entire Beis HaMikdash, and then when he had finished it, it said he brought all the silver and gold that were in his father's treasure houses and put them away in the treasuries for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Radak, and it's a psik de Ravosa. He was not prepared to use that because the novice has told him that the monies raised by your father, David HaMelech, cannot be used in Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So if we come back to the Gemara in Shabbos and we ask ourselves, what has a broken step got to do with David HaMelech? And dare we say it in a much more tragic fashion than what happened to Rav Pop in Baba Basra? The answer must surely be in the Yalkut Shimoni, because not only did he refuse one oni, he refused thousands and hundreds of thousands day after day after day for a period of 3 years. And that's the Dargot Avir. Kiposoach Tivtach. Something worth thinking about. Let us now just go back for a moment, because there is an item here which I want to draw your attention to, and that is the in the beginning of Perek Yud Dalet. Perek Yud Dalet. Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. You are sons, you are children to Hashem. Losis go to do not cut yourselves, velo sosimu korcha, and do not rip out your hair to make a bald patch, veneinechem, between your eyes, lomes, because of your grief for the departed. Excessive grief is not halachically acceptable in Jewish law. The reason given is, bonim atem lashem elokeichem. What is the reason? Bonim atem lashem elokeichem. Says the Sephorno, a most majestic observation. She'ein ra'ui laharos tachlis hadag of a hatzar, because one is not allowed to show extreme grief al hakorov hames when a relative passes away. Kishen nishar korov nichpod mimenu b'mala uvetikva satov. It is totally inappropriate to show excessive grief in the departure of a relative when there is a more important and more noble relative still left alive. Therefore, Atem Bonim Lashem, you are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Avichem Kayom Load, who is a parent who never dies. Ein ra'ui shetid agu, and therefore no matter who passes away, it is not appropriate that you should be consumed with grief, vitis ablu betachlis, and to mourn in the extreme, al shum mes. It's a fascinating thesis. And if you check it up, the Das Akeinim Ibali Atosis, exactly the same thing. To grieve in an extreme fashion is an act of effrontery to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he is a relative who is still with you. And when you show excessive grief, it would seem to imply that you don't have anybody else left in the world. And that's a lie. Because Bonim Atem Vashem Elokim. Let me tell you of a conversation which occurred between Rav Yitzchok Hutner Zatzal, together with a gentleman who is not known so well on this side of the Atlantic, Rabbi Pinchas Teitz, who was, I think, the Rabbi of Elizabeth, New Jersey. Both of them were traveling to be Menachem Ovel when Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal lost his wife. And the conversation, of course, was in Divrei Torah. And one asked the other, why is it that the avelus for other relatives concludes at 30 days, and avelus for a parent lasts for an entire year. Rav Pinchas Teitz suggested the following. He suggested that if another relative passes away, he is, albeit theoretically, replaceable. Nishtogadach, the son, wife may bear another one. A brother or sister, his parents may have another child. The only relative who is not replaceable is a father or a mother. That is why there is avelus for a father or mother for an entire year. Rav Hutner Kedarko Bakodesh said something quite extraordinary. The avelus for a year on the loss of a parent is not for the loss of the parent. Avelus should be equal for all avelim. We have avelus for a year when a parent dies, because when a parent dies, we become one generation further away from Matan Torah. Extraordinary cheshbon. The avelus is not on the loss of a parent, because all relatives, the avelus should be the same. The avelus is because with the loss of a parent, we are one generation further away from Matan Torah. In the tshuvas of Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, so I heard, I haven't traced its source yet, but it is from a reliable source. Rav Moshe says, avelus for all krovim is 30 days. The avelus for a parent is extended to a year, not because of dinei avelus, but because of dinei kibud av v'aim. It would be disrespectful to dismiss the memory of a parent in that way after 30 days. The avelus is extended to a year, not mitzad hilchas avelus, but mitzad hilchas kibud av v'aim, which is a very, very big chiddush. We can't end on that note, as you can appreciate, not this year and certainly not the season. So let's then move on for a moment or two to another comment of the Sephorno, the Netziv we leave over for another time, and that is Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Aleph, and show you how everything is so beautiful. Al Mekomo. Shomor Es Chodesh Ho'aviv. Guard the season of spring. What does it mean? I should keep an eye on the spring. Says the Sephorno. Shomor b'hasmodas hashkocha. Keep an eager eye out. Sheyihye Nisan chodesh ho'aviv. Make sure that Nisan is always the month of spring. That's what it means. Make sure Nisan is always the month of spring. Al yedei iburei hachadoshim v'hashonim. Sheyichavnu bohem shenei halavono im shenei hachama. Let me tell you what this man is saying here. Why does the Jewish religion count its years by the moon and not by the sun? Side by side, we're all aware of the fact that we have to be in line with the seasons. So make it a solar year. Says the Sephorno, the Torah deliberately insists that we have a lunar year. You know why? Because it'll drive us meshuggah. Because every minute of every month of every year, we're going to have to start making cheshbonos as to how we can ensure that this year, Nisan is going to be in the spring. Why should I have to drive myself meshuggah to make sure that Nisan falls in the spring? Why should I have to be constantly on the alert for this? Dr. Sephorno Poshet. Because the central theme of our religion is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, by giving us a lunar year and not a solar year, we are constantly keeping in mind Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the whole operation of Kiddush HaChodesh, of sanctifying the new moon and making our year a lunar year, is all in order that we should retain as the center of our circle Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the whole lunar concept is invented so that we will have to adapt, change, alter, subtract, add, so that all the time we become aware of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I won't see you before then, so I'll say it now. With this little Sephorno, a question which should have bothered us all, but most probably did not. We make Kiddush. Make Kiddush Pesach. Seichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Make Kiddush Shavuos and Sukkah. Seichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, Abis and Shmer. All right, Seichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Still part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rosh Hashanah? Please, do me a favor. Seichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? Where? There's no stretch of the imagination. This morning hits it on the head. Every Yom Tov in the Jewish calendar comes about through Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh is a phenomenon which is associated with the lunar calendar. The lunar calendar is an invention of the Torah with the exclusive intention of keeping us constantly aware of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So whenever any day, which is a day, a calendar date in a calendar month, comes around and it has been designated by Beis Din, you should know that the whole chain of events, lunar, month, allied to, not allied to, all this comes to us from the simple premise. We have to be constantly aware of Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we will have to adapt and change the solar and lunar so that they align. This is a Yesod Niskov in the Sephorno with these few words.